Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome once again to Border Crossings here on VOA TV. And today we are joined by the duo known as the 180s. It's Daniel and Autumn, who have been together for a little bit as another group performing Americana music, which people like Rolling Stone magazine said that they were ones to watch. They've had tremendous success, but they just decided to do a 180. So we welcome Daniel and Autumn here to our program, and it's great to have you guys. The 180s, that's a clever, creative way for saying we're just going to turn this around.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, thank you for having us, Larry. We're glad to be here. Appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to us. The 180s, that's our MO as people. And that's an apt name for two people who can never make up their mind.
Yep. Precisely.
Now, I did read somewhere where you said that you came up with a name, you came up with a plan, and then you said, now we're going to figure out what we're going to do. Usually it goes the other way around.
Yeah. I think actually what was happening was we kept changing our minds about what type of music we were going to play. Like we would come up with a song that felt like it wasn't going to fit. Like it wouldn't fit, like say on an Americana album or on a folk album or whatever, you know. For instance, we came up with this disco inspired song, No King. Mm-hmm. We thought there's no way we're going to put this out there. We're not going to put this on an album because it just doesn't fit the other stuff we're doing. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you know, we had floated the name, the 180s, I think because we were talking about starting an 80s pop band.
Yeah.
Or something.
The name was definitely a joke at first.
Yeah. And it just clicked. We're like, hey, you know, we can kind of steer into this fact that we can't make up our mind or that we're constantly changing our minds.
Yeah.
And just would say, we'll make every release like markedly different than the previous release. And that'll just be what we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we'll put it on the same album. And somehow it all kind of sounds like it should be on the same album.
Yeah. I mean, we have, you know, most of the same elements in all the songs. You know, we have my vocals are on it. His vocals are on it. We have big string arrangements. We have pedal steel guitar, you know, bass drums, synthesizers. So each song has many of the same elements. So it still sounds like the same band, but I, you know, each, you know, new release takes a big turn, a 180, if you will.
And your new music, you work with some well-known studio musicians who've worked with, I guess, Carrie Underwood was one named Sheryl Crow I saw. So you've had some, you got together with a bunch of really talented musicians to make this album. And what you did before, you had your own band, which I can't pronounce the name. So maybe you have to help me out with this.
It's New Reveille.
New Reveille.
Yeah.
And everything was going so well. So why the change?
Well, it's kind of one of those stories. I feel like it's like a rite of passage for bands, right? Like you have some, you get a record deal and maybe something goes wrong with it. In that case, we had a great experience. You know, we got signed to a label and they made it possible to go to Nashville and record at Ocean Way Studios and Blackbird Studios with some of these big names. And you know, just get spoiled for a few months, you know, making music and not having to worry about any of the technical stuff. And just, it was amazing. But in the middle of our release, the label went under, and that was kind of in the middle of the album push, you know, this album we had worked on for a year. And in the wake of that, we continued trying to do New Reveille, but it just kind of, you know, one thing after another kind of happened and the wheels came off of it. And so,
yeah, it just, I mean, eventually just kind of fizzled out and, you know, the pandemic hit, and that's really when, you know, we had a couple of shows lined up we were going to do in 2020, like with Katie Tunstall and some other names, and it just didn't, those shows never happened and everything just kind of fizzled out, and
yeah,
it just sort of naturally just decayed. And
and just, you know, the pandemic, she mentioned the pandemic, that was kind of like for us in a way a catalyst to do this new music, because you know, we, like other people, we were in quarantine, right? We had to figure out a way to create this stuff without being able to get together with people during that time. So we tapped some of the people we had worked with New Reveille. Fred Eltring came on the drums. He's played with a lot of, you know, names. He's Sheryl Crow's drummer. Mm-hmm. And Mark Hill on bass. We reached out to those guys and they were like more than willing to record parts for us from their home studios. and just go back and forth sending us tracks. And that turned out to really work.
You know, these are really busy guys. They play for, you know, big names. And the fact that they were willing to, you know, record for us, that it just meant so much. And, you know, we think that probably the pandemic helped with that in some way, because as everyone knows, you know, musicians, we didn't have a lot to do during the pandemic. We weren't playing shows. So those of us that are lucky enough to be able to record in our home studio, you know, we got to do that, and we're just really grateful that they were willing to do that for us.
Yeah.
So, and they're so cool.
Yeah. It's like we have a rotation of some of the, you know, coolest people and, you know, just great musicians. Nick Baglio is another one, our good friend, on drums, who plays on No King. And again, these are mostly people who are, we're corresponding with remotely, even kind of after the, you know, the thick of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what this business would be like if we didn't have the technology we had during this pandemic? It would be unbelievably painful. I mean, here we have Zoom, yeah. We have all of this stuff, and it's amazing. Yeah. But we're talking with Daniel and Autumn, and they are the 180s. And if you guys wouldn't mind doing a song for us, we'd love to hear some of the new sounds.
Cool.
Yeah. What's the first song we're going to play here?
We'll do Dead Starlight.
Yeah, Dead Starlight is it's our first single that we released back in June.
Yeah.
And this song is it's about, you know, kind of holding on to the past and how there's futility in that, you know? Hmm. Yeah.
All right. The 180s, Dead Starlight.
One last ride to the old desert town we used to hide in. Drifting so thank you.
Crossings, and that song is called Dead Starlight. It is the 180s. They are the 180s. We've got Daniel and Autumn with us here on the program today. And the style of music that you guys, the lane you're in, is called, I guess, Americana. And for the benefit of our worldwide audience who are listening in 100 different countries around the world right now, what does Americana mean? You've got Americana, you've got roots, you've got folk. Describe the sound of the 180s.
Well, Americana, I guess, is sort of a shmishmash of like a bunch of different genres. You know, Americana embodies like a little bit of country, roots, folk, blues. There's a little bit of rock and roll in there. So a lot of music can be defined as Americana.
Yeah, it's so many things that I kind of don't know what it is. I kind of have no idea, but I think that was
it
a
is,
good answer.
It's a shmishmash. It is a lot of things, but,
roots based.
Yeah. But our music is a little bit more on the, alternative pop / Americana side. And I think that's because, you know, a lot of the melodies we write are very kind of more pop based. But we have a lot of traditional Americana instruments. So we have like the acoustic guitar and the violin and the pedal steel, which is like very Americana, very country. But we also use digital instruments. We use synthesizers. So it's like we took a genre that's already a bunch of different things, and then we added a bunch of different things to it. Yeah. And it's like, we just put it in a blender and made a really delicious smoothie out of it.
Smoothie. Okay. We said stew, but I think smoothie sounds. Yeah. We take all of our favorite things and put it in this stew and like, see what happens. And we have no idea what to call it. It's probably the actual truth. But you know, you kind of have to call it something. So there are elements of everything, I guess. And instead of recording a fiddle.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Smoothie stew. That's wonderful. Yeah. Or a stew smoothie.
Stew. Yeah.
But it's a stewthie. That's it. We got our own sound now. It's stewthie.
Well, you know, instead of having
a stewthie, we've created
one. Instead of having like one violin track, we're like, but we want it to be an orchestra. And Autumn's like classically trained. So we're like, hey, we don't have to make this sound like a fiddle track. Let's record an entire orchestral section of 24 violins. And so she plays 24 times, and that becomes the string section. And then on top of that, we'll do synths. And then we end up with like 400 tracks that we're trying to mix. And that's why we do it ourselves, is because it would give anybody a heart attack to try to, I think, from us.
It's a lot.
So, I mean, the writing process, who writes the lyrics, the melodies, who decides what? I mean, in terms, is it a collaboration? Is there one person whose job writes the songs, or how does it work for you guys?
We both do it all, actually. Mm-hmm. And every song starts out different than the last. There's not one way that we write a song. I think most songwriters could probably say the same thing. Sometimes the songs will start with a drum beat that he writes. He's like, let's, you know, which was hard for me to start doing. Or sometimes, you know, maybe I will have like written a melody on my iPhone and he's like, oh, that's so cool. Let me try these chords to it. But yeah, it's a total collaboration, 100%. There are there are some songs, you know, like this song will likely be on our album. It's called Cinnamon. You know, I was like teaching violin one day, and I was done with the day, and I went upstairs, and he's like, "Oh, I wrote this thing. I don't know if it's any good." And it's like my favorite song ever. Beautiful, you know, piano, beautiful chords. And, you know, it's like he pretty much wrote that song, but I came in and, you know, changed melodies around and we wrote the lyrics together. And
well, I had like said, you know, a lot of times when I don't know what the lyrics of a song are going to be yet, then I just like put down scratch lyrics, like whatever comes into my head, just to get the melody down to communicate it. And there was like one lyric where I think I had said the word sentiment.
Yeah.
Sentiment. And then like you heard it as cinnamon and we're like, hey, let's make that be the song. How do we make that be what the song's about? So we came up with a character whose nickname was Cinnamon, and we wrote a whole song out of that. By contrast, No King, which we just released October 14th, you know, that was like we had just written a lot of these sort of ballads and kind of lamenting melancholy tunes. And we just really wanted to write something upbeat. And like every time I've ever wanted to do that, I just start with a drum beat. So I laid down a drum beat, and then Autumn took a microphone and started just riffing on melodies. And then one thing after another, and it turned into a song. And a lot of times it ends up with us having an entire song or arrangement, melody, recording even, and then being like, oh yeah, we need to write the real lyrics to this song now. We've become too attached to these fake lyrics that we put in place. So we'll just sit down with the, you know, go to Barnes and Noble or sit in the, you know.
Mm. Well, I guess is that the next song that you're going to play for us now?
Yeah, we can play No King. We'll do an acoustic version. It's not quite like the album version, but we'll do what we can with it.
But we get the exclusive version, which I love. You know,
they're
here. So this is No King. Is that the name of the song?
Yep.
No King.
Okay, so let's check it out. This is the brand new single from the 180s. This is called No King here on Border Crossings. Crossings, No King. It's the new single, and we have the 180s with us right now, Daniel and Autumn, who are the vocalists and the songwriters. They put the whole collection of songs they've got together, and No King was inspired by what? Tell me the basis of the song, No King.
Yeah.
So that's what the one, you know, No King started off with me playing a drum beat on the keyboard, and then Autumn just kind of improvising. We kind of got the bug to try to do a disco inspired song, right? And listen to a bunch of like Bee Gees, you know, and ABBA and stuff like that. And just wanted to kind of go out on a limb and try something new. And then the song, I guess, had a certain feeling to it.
Yeah.
That kind of felt like empowering. Mm-hmm. And just, we start putting words on the page and it kind of just becomes about, you know, confronting somebody who's maybe gotten the best of you and telling them, you know, no more of that. You know, you got their number, you see through it. And you're kind of taking the reins back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has COVID changed the way you do what you do?
I don't know. It's kind of like as introverted people, at times it felt like we were in our element, you know, during quarantine. Well, maybe not you so much. I don't know, but me, yeah, for sure.
Me a little bit. Yeah.
But it affected the process, you know, as I mentioned, just because out of necessity, you wind up needing to get creative in how you execute. Like, how do you make an album when you can't go play music with people?
Right.
Big question. Like, how do you make an album when you can't get together with people? Well, for one, you have to play all the stuff yourself. You have to get online and research how to do things. Where do you put a microphone to achieve this sound? You know, what production tricks do you use to achieve this sound? And how do you get a drummer in Nashville to give you a drum track that works for your song? And so that's what the pandemic really did, was it pushed us to a new way of working that in some ways we probably continue to embrace.
We've got the 180s with us here on Border Crossings, and you guys are going to have time for one more song for us. And I believe you said this is the new release, the new track.
Yep. This song is called Two Jet Planes.
Two Jet Planes. All right. Here they are, Daniel and Autumn. It's the 180s, Two Jet Planes on Border Crossings.
Ever dreaming out in space.
Crossings. And that's two jet planes from two singers, Daniel and Autumn. They are the 180s, and they're joining us today. Now, we have so far a collection of singles, but album-wise, what's happening? I think your plan has been to just continue putting out singles, build the story, and then put out an album. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's correct. We put out two singles so far, so Dead Starlight and No King. And then the song you just heard, Two Jet Planes, that's a song we're planning to release here pretty soon. And yeah, we hope to have our record done and ready to put out by the spring.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you, Daniel and Autumn, for being on the show. We look forward to the new album, TBD, sometime in 2023, and all the great music you guys continue to put out. It's the 180s, and this is Border Crossings. My name's Larry London. Thanks for watching.